Let us kneel and begin with the Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the second part of a two-part sermon on the life of St. Francis of Paola. So we'll do a quick review from last time. Now, it's not hard to see that we're living right now in a time of serious moral and spiritual crisis. Now, the Church has always been the beacon and the structure of morality for the world. But those that are supposed to be defending the faith and the Church are not acting as guardians and protectors. Instead, they're acting as wolves and predators among the sheep, corrupting the faith of the little ones. But where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. In this time of crisis, God raises great saints to strengthen the faith in the Church. God loves us, and He doesn't abandon us. We have to remember this. Now, as we recall from last time, in 1416, the year St. Francis of Paola was born, the world was living in a time of turmoil. The Catholic Church was living through the Great Western Schism. Now, during that time, God willed to raise up a great saint to strengthen the Church. Now, the example of this saint serves us now to strengthen our faith today as we are suffering this great crisis of faith and living through this great apostasy. Now, the example of St. Francis helps us to see what one holy man, armed with the power of God, can do. God so loved this humble servant that whatever Francis asked of him, the Almighty granted him. God is looking for saints who are willing to be humble and filled with faith like St. Francis. Now, from last time, we saw the many miracles, or the many great miracles of St. Francis. But in all these miracles, there was always a lesson to be learned. Now, this is how we can give glory to God, by putting the lessons of these miracles into practice. So, for example, one of the miracles. There was one time that a woman named Marinella went up to St. Francis and fell on her knees, asking for a cure for her daughter. Now, her daughter's body had been completely covered with sores. Now, Francis had never met her, but he revealed to her something that she didn't realize that he knew. He said, "If you really want God to cure your daughter, you must restore the good name of your husband and that of your relative Antonio." Marinella had been a terrible gossip. She spoke calumnies and detractions against her husband and her relative. God was not pleased with her, and Francis made this perfectly clear. Now, it wasn't until she made restitution and showed mercy to these people and corrected the wickedness of her crime that God answered her prayers, and her daughter was restored to health immediately as promised by St. Francis. Now, we were given this lesson to learn mercy and in order to give God more glory. Now, Pope Paul II was the Pope during the early years of his order's foundation. Now, he had heard of the great works of St. Francis, and so he sent a representative from the Vatican named Monsignor Adorno to investigate the order because he wanted to give it papal approval. Now, Monsignor Adorno arrived early in the morning. He went into the chapel while Mass was being celebrated, and to one side of the chapel, he saw a fervent friar in great reverence and deep concentration. He realized that this was Francis. Now, after Mass, Francis met with this envoy from Rome in his cell. Now, he lit a fire out of coal and tried to make Monsignor Adorno as comfortable as possible, because, of course, St. Francis practiced many austerities. But then the Monsignor began to speak. He said, "Brother Francis, I know of your living and the way you want to perpetuate it through your followers and your monasteries. I admire your fortitude. However, I must point out that this extreme form of self-mortification is inconsistent with the demands of human nature." He thought it was too hard, "and is therefore condemned by the wisest of men of our age. It is therefore necessary that you soften this excessively rigorous fasting." This is what the Monsignor told St. Francis. Well, the saint listened calmly and attentively, and after a moment of silence, he stood up, he walked over to the fire, he picked up the hot coals in his hands, and turned around and sat down next to the Monsignor. And holding him in his hands, he looked at Monsignor Adorno and said, "Yes, it is true, Monsignor. I am an unlearned peasant. And if I were not, I would not be able to do this." Now, what could be the Monsignor's reply to this? Well, St. Francis showed him through this incredible act of faith that God was directing his actions and his religious order. Monsignor Adorno realized by this act that anyone with the grace of God can live a healthy existence even in the face of the most severe penances. In his visit, Monsignor Adorno also learned of all the other miracles of Francis, and these he brought back to the Pope when he made his report. But the Pope wouldn't give the order his papal approval because he thought the penance and fasting were too severe. But then only a few months after the visit, on July 26, 1471, Pope Paul II suddenly died. Now, he was very healthy, but right at this moment he passed away. Now, he had been in good health, and this was a shock to everyone, but this was the will of God. And so Pope Sixtus IV was elected in his place, and this was by God's design. Since this pope was a Franciscan, he also lived a very austere and penitential life. So he reviewed the constitutions of the minimum friars, and he gave his overwhelming approval. Now then, on March of 1480, King Louis XI, the king who united France into one nation, became the most powerful king in the world, but he suffered a stroke at the height of his power. Now this stroke paralyzed him and damaged his speech permanently. But being confined to his castle at Tours in central France, he desperately looked for a cure. But his doctors told him that there was no cure for him and that he was going to die. Now this king, of course, had a tremendous passion for life, and he had an awful fear of death. He was given over to the joys of this world and its pleasures. So his servants, seeing this and seeing his sadness, they brought over dancers, jesters, and all kinds of buffoons to bring him out of his sadness, but this was no use. Now the king himself ordered prayers, processions, and pilgrimages for his health. Even relics were brought all over from all over the country for his cure, but nothing worked. But then he was told by one of his servants, John Moreau, about Francis and all of his miracles. So immediately the king sent a message to this holy hermit. But Francis wouldn't go, even though the king promised to do everything for the order, give him any amount of money, and even establish monasteries in his kingdom. Now two different messengers were sent to St. Francis, and twice the saint said no. Then the king of France begged his friend, the king of Naples, to intercede for him and to bring the saint to France. But Francis told the king that he would not tempt God or take a voyage of 1,000 miles to work a miracle that asked by worldly and merely human motives. So the king of France went to Pope Sixtus IV, and finally Francis agreed, but under holy obedience. So then Francis set out on his journey to France. He went out with three other friars and a donkey that had the name Martinello. Now all the brothers would walk until they got tired, and then they would ride Martinello. Now they had walked for so long that the shoes of Martinello, the donkey, had worn away, and he began to walk with a limp. So they came up to the town of Loria, and there he performed one of his most famous miracles, and this, of course, is recorded. They came down to the blacksmith, and Francis asked him if in the name of Jesus he would shoe Martinello. He agreed, and after this was done, the blacksmith asked for money. Obviously, he hadn't gotten the gist. St. Francis said, "Dear brother, I ask this of you in charity, but none of us has the money to pay you. Rest assured that the blessed Jesus will recompense you generously for your act of charity." But the blacksmith replied, he said, "I care little for your money. I have served you, and now I want my pay." Francis tried to calm him down, but he only became more and more angry. So the saint said calmly to the donkey, "Martinello, this man does not want to be charitable, and we don't have the money to pay him. Give him back his shoes." So Martinello, obeying his master, shook the shoes off his hooves and dropped the 4 shoes. Now the blacksmith, seeing this, was humiliated and repentant. The blacksmith fell to his knees and begged for forgiveness. He requested the nail of his shoes back on the donkey, but Francis refused. In fact, they went on to the next town where a blacksmith did it out of charity. Now when Francis finally arrived at the castle in Tours, the king ran out with all his court to greet him, and he fell on his knees and begged him to obtain from God the prolongation of his life. Now St. Francis had told him that no wise man should have the desire to prolong their life, and that even kings had their appointed time. The saint told him he had nothing to do but resign himself to God's will and prepare for a happy death. But St. Francis visited him day after day, and he spoke to him with such love and kindness. Now the saint spoke with such wisdom, holiness, and conviction, even though he was a man without learning, that those who heard him were convinced that the Holy Ghost spoke through him. But the king was still worried about France and his kingdom in this world. He thought immediately that Francis would cure him. But this was not Francis's mission. His mission was to prepare the king for his death, not to heal him. So St. Francis would lead him to think of his eternal soul as supernatural life instead of his natural life. He said to the king, Sire, no one on earth can presume to alter the divine will. It is our duty to submit ourselves humbly and prayerfully to his will. O king, I must inform you with deep regret that God will not permit me to cure you. You must put your affairs in order because little time remains for you. The king of France then began preparing himself for death. The words of St. Francis brought about a great change in this king. The king became generous and kind with his people for the sake of pleasing God who died for him. It was the loving kindness that St. Francis showed the king that enabled the king to clearly see how much God loved him. He began showing more and more reverence towards the sacraments and greater joy in receiving them. The king developed a special love for Our Lady, and he became especially attached to her, and he especially honored her on Saturdays, which is her special day. But he asked also for the grace of dying on Saturday in honor of Our Lady. And then on August 30th, 1483, while the king lay in his bed calmly and reverently, he repeated the prayer, Our Lady of Embrun, dear mother, pray for me. And then he died. It was a Saturday. Now, why is this considered a great miracle? Because it takes a greater miracle to raise a dead soul to life than to raise a body. And we know from the last sermon that St. Francis raised many bodies to life. And St. Francis did just that, raise a soul, just like our Blessed Lord. If we recall the words of our Lord who said, when he cured the lame man, he said, which is it easier to say, arise and walk, or your sins are forgiven? The only reason that we're here in this world is for the sake of our eternal soul and to prepare for our supernatural life. Today, in these days of crisis in our church, we have lost the sense of the supernatural. We need to restore that understanding, so we need to hear about great saints like this. So if you want to read more about this great saint, St. Francis of Paola, there is a book available by Tan Books on the life of the saint. Now, I've given you very, very few of his miracles, but just enough to understand what this great saint was about. But God raised this miracle worker to strengthen a collapsing world, weakened by a crisis of faith in the church. His example is just as necessary now as it was in his day. St. Francis' example helps us to strengthen our faith in these wicked times of perversion and apostasy in order to show us the power of the omnipotent and almighty God at the hands of a humble servant. His life is proof of the gospel that if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Now we are living in a world on the verge of total collapse. God loves us, and he will never abandon us. He is calling up saints in this time of crisis. He is calling up men and women who love him and who are unafraid of preaching the truth to the world, whether by word, work, or example. He is calling up saints like St. Francis. Will you be one of them? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.